Welcome to church online, wherever you are. It's a joy to be able to gather together in this way. My name is Lynn. I'm the minister at Adelaide West and will be sharing with you today. Last week, many of us were in lockdown and we asked the kids during the service whether they could listen to the Bible story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people and constructed in Lego. And this is one that two girls that are part of the 11 a.m. service did, and it's fabulous. It looks like they used every person they had in Lego, and so even Batman had his fill of bread and fish. Thanks, girls, for sharing it with us. After the message, we'll be sharing communion, so if you would like to have some bread or crackers on hand and some juice ready for that, then we'll be able to share that together. As we come to worship, we light a candle. It's a reminder that Jesus is the light of the world and present with us as we meet, as well as in our everyday lives in the uncertainty of these times. It's a privilege to be able to sing together, which we can't do at in-person services here in South Australia this week. We sing praise and thanksgiving and worship our Maker with gladness and song.
The Bible reading today is from John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hunger. I'm often hungry. Hungry for certain types of food. Hunger is the craving or urgent need for food, and I was fascinated to read there are seven types of food hunger. Eye hunger. We want food as it looks good, a beautifully presented meal, a decorated cake. Nose hunger. The smell of food attracts us to food. Mouth hunger. We want flavours and textures in our food. Stomach hunger, a rumbling tummy. Cellular hunger. Our cells need certain nutrients and hence we seek them. Mind hunger. Our inner voices tell us that one type of food is good and another bad. We're influenced by the media and diets and so forth. And finally, heart hunger. What we eat is linked into our emotions. Comfort food can relate to our past or to memories. Emotional eating can be the desire to be loved or looked after. Sometimes we eat to fill a hole, but that hole often can't be satisfied through eating. To satisfy our heart hunger, we need to find the intimacy or the comfort that our heart is actually craving. Perhaps when we feel hungry, we can think about which of the hungers is actually motivating us. Hunger is the craving or urgent need for food, but it is more than just wanting food. It's also defined as wanting or craving something. Hunger can also be desperately wanting change in the world, to hunger for justice in the world, or to make poverty history. Earlier in John 6, we have the story where Jesus fed 5,000 plus hungry people. And the moderator shared a message on that last week. That's available on YouTube. It's hard to imagine being part of a crowd of 5,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 right now. It's not something that we can be a part of. And as we watch the Olympics, we don't see crowds there either. But after being with a crowd and miraculously feeding them, Jesus retreats to a mountain where the disciples get into a boat and set off across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus catches up with them by walking on water and they land together on the northern side of the lake. Now the crowd has been searching for Jesus and find him in Capernaum, a fishing village in Israel on the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, 16 kilometres from Tiberias, where he fed the 5,000. And the crowd asked Jesus three questions. The first, Rabbi, when did you get there or get here? Jesus has just fed 5,000 men plus women and children out of a picnic basket, and they seem to be asking almost a frivolous question. It's like being at a party and going through the motions. Where do you live and what do you do? The crowd doesn't know that he caught up with the boat by walking on water, and perhaps some of the crowd last saw him withdrawing to the mountain by himself and the disciples getting into the boat without him. Whatever the motivation for the question, Jesus isn't interested in answering their question or in frivolous banter. He immediately refers to the food he had provided and suggests that they want him for all the wrong reasons. You're only here because you want another free meal. And when we remember that many of these people would have lived from one meal to the next, it's not surprising. Their job each day was to find enough food for the day to feed them and their family. It was subsistence living. And so someone providing free food for their hunger and with abundance was well worth following and exciting. But in his answer, Jesus takes it beyond satisfying their physical hunger, beyond the physical food, and he refers to something else, offers a far deeper sustenance, food that doesn't spoil, food that endures to eternal life, given by the Son of Man, who God the Father has approved. He's taking them beyond who got what. The bread is a sign of something far bigger. The second question, what must we do to do the works God requires? So he's just told them not to work for food that perishes, and now they're asking him, what must they do? It's a valid question. They would have known what the scriptures for them, what we now know as the Old Testament in the Bible, told them to do. What will Jesus say? And the answer is simply to believe in the one God has sent. There's no performance here, no creed, but simply seeing what God is doing and believing and trusting in God. And the work of God can be translated from the biblical Greek, the original language, as the work which is offered to God. So the work offered to God is not all the rules and regulations that they're thinking, but to believe in Jesus, the one God has sent, a bold statement by Jesus at the time. They're asking what they should do, but Jesus is working towards a different world. God is inviting everyone into this world, a world of abundance, a world of food that does not spoil. And the third question, what sign are you going to give us then so we might see and believe? What will you do? And here we have the give us a sign, we want a sign thing. The Gospel of John is the gospel of signs and symbols. And the tradition of rabbis at the time stated that signs by a prophet proved the authenticity of that prophet. And that's how they got their cred, so to speak. John seems to assume that the reader is familiar with the story in the Old Testament where God provided miraculously manna to the Israelites in the wilderness. This manna was edible. It tasted like wafers made with honey, and they called it bread. And you can read that story in Exodus 16. The manna was a foreshadowing of the feeding of the 5,000, foreshadowing of the real heavenly bread, who is Jesus. The crowd is understandably wanting more miracles, more signs, but he moves them beyond the satisfaction of the physical to see beyond it. They've just seen 5,000 people plus women and children fed by a picnic basket, two fish and five sandwiches. It actually mentions loaves. And they've witnessed abundance in the meal and in the leftovers. They've been fed physically. Physical needs were met. But they're wanting a sign, and they mention manna in the wilderness. And Jesus moves their attention from Moses and the bread offered to the author of the gift, being God. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Physical provision that they receive represents spiritual needs being met. Life to them, life to the world. The emphasis is not on the miracle, but on the new, unique, imperishable gift that God gives in Jesus. It starts with the physical, but Jesus turns it into the spiritual and very life itself. The people are starting to get a glimpse of something bigger. Sir, always give us this bread. And Jesus replies, I am the bread of life. This is the first of seven I am sayings of Jesus. I am the bread of life. He is the symbolic meaning of the bread. I wonder how we interpret the bread of life today. Most of us don't live in a subsistence culture. Perhaps we could think of it this differently if we thought of Jesus as the electricity of life, the internet of life, sustaining everything else working, or perhaps today, the vaccine of life. In the original language, many of the verbs in this passage are in the present tense. My Father gives continually the true bread from heaven. This is the work of God, that you are believing continually in whom God has sent. And the bread from God continually comes down from heaven. The point that Jesus is making, that heaven enters into our reality through Jesus being the bread of life, always, continually. And so we receive Jesus as the bread of life, not just as a one-off. We don't say, got it, now I'm set. There's a sense here of constant replenishment, God sending the bread of life, our ongoing sustenance. In this story, the crowd has eyes, but don't seem able to see, and maybe we're a bit like that sometimes. We see physical needs being met and we stop there, and we miss the joy of Jesus being the bread of life in our lives. Come and believe. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Come and believe. Belief in John's Gospel and in the New Testament in general is much more than simply an intellectual acceptance of certain doctrines or views. Belief is rather a wholehearted, very personal dedication to someone. To believe in Jesus is to enter into a committed, trusting relationship with Him and to find the satisfaction of the deepest human longings and hunger. Jesus challenged the crowd to look beyond the physical bread to the true bread beyond. John has unpacked the meaning of the feeding of many people, and we appreciate John's way of telling stories with alternate comprehension and incomprehension. And I wonder when we ask questions like this. I wonder whether we understand the answers that Jesus gives as we read the Bible as one of the primary ways that we learn about God. Are we hungry, deeply hungry for God? As we hunger for God, do we turn to Jesus as the bread of life? Do we hunger for justice, hunger for God's ways, hunger for peace? And as we do that, are we not the bread ourselves? We have the privilege of taking part in the mission of God in the world. And as we do that, are we not the bread? Be the bread to this hurting world. This passage points to Jesus as the way to God, as the bread of life. God is expansive and abundant as the way to God, as the bread of life. John refreshingly calls us back to the spirituality of relationship in which love is celebrated and generated, where deeper hunger is met and satisfied, profound nourishment. Following Jesus is not about following rules and obligations, but about coming and believing. God is the God who provides for our deeper hunger. Come and believe. Amen.
This is my prayer in the desert. Or trial or pain, there is a faith proved of more worth than gold. So refine me, Lord, through the flame. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. My prayer in the battle, when triumph is still on its way. I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, so firm on His promise I'll stand. I will bring praise, I will bring praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is near. Of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to sing, I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, You are still God. I have a reason to sing, I have a reason to worship. I have a reason to sing, I have a reason. weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice, I will declare, God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the harvest, when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again, the seed I've received I will sow.
Communion is a visible sign of God's love and grace. Together with people all around the world, we are drawn here by God's love. Those who desire to live more fully in the spirit of grace and the call to fruitfulness. We are virtually connected today, a gathered community connecting by time and participating together for us now and with Christians right across the world. So we remember how this all began on the night when Jesus was betrayed. He sat at supper with his disciples, and while they were eating, he took a piece of bread, said a blessing, broke it, and shared it among them. Similarly, he blessed and passed around a cup of wine from which they all drank. Today we remember a body broken, the bread of life, and a life poured out. And so following the example of Jesus, we take this bread and this juice, which the Spirit blesses here and at home. And as Jesus gave thanks before sharing, let us do so also. Let's pray. Loving God, in this time and place, you prepare a table, offering not just bread or juice, but your very presence, that we may be filled, forgiven, encouraged and sent out again. Risen Christ, present with us now, thank you for all that you have done, all that you have promised. Thank you that you are the bread of life for us. We're sorry. Sorry for the times when we miss the mark, when our hands are empty, when our hearts are full of self-concern, for when we do say or think things that separate us from you or from others. And thank you that these things and all our sins are forgiven. Thank you that it's your love's power to change us, and that remains our hope and courage. Holy God, pour out your Spirit upon us and on these gifts of bread and juice in front of us. Thank you, they remind us of the body and blood of Christ. And we pray that united to Jesus, we may become all that you call us to be, attentive and present to the world until at last your reign of justice and peace comes. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours forever. Amen. I invite you to join with me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. You can do that in your preferred version and, of course, in your preferred language. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I encourage you to take the bread and to tear it apart. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, a reminder that we are a broken people and we are put back together by God. And the cup we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ, reminding us of the life of Christ. Here in this moment, graced by the Spirit of hope and peace, we discover the wonderful, abundant love that Jesus has for us. And we rejoice that these are the gifts of God for us the people of God. I invite you to take and eat the bread, share it around with others in the room if you're with others, and remember Jesus' body broken and his compassion for us. And take the cup and remember the life that Jesus lived and the life that we are called to live. As a scattered community today, may we be a sign of hope and faith, united in community together, and may this food strengthen us to love one another and to be a reminder in our everyday lives of the very deep love that God has for us and how God sustains us and meets our deep, deep hunger that we have. And as part of our love for God and part of our compassion for others, we pray for others. Let's pray together. Loving God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your amazing love for us. We thank you for your abundance. We thank you for this world, your world. And we pause to pray where parts of your world are broken. We think of those who live with struggle, so those who don't have enough food to eat, where there is no bread. For those who have lost hopes, lost dreams, oppressed, dealing with disaster, where there is war. And we lift those places in our minds to you now. Lord Jesus, we continue to pray for our world struggling with COVID. For the many places where it is rampant. We pray for those that are in lockdown, and we particularly pray for New South Wales at this time who are doing it tough. And we ask that they will be able to get on top of the high numbers, that we'll see them go down and that the vaccination rate would go up, and that together that we would be able to be in a better position, that we would be a community of love and hope together. We also pray for this Lay Preacher Sunday. We thank you for the many lay preachers that are in specified ministry in the Uniting Church, and we give thanks for them. For without them, many churches would have nobody to preach the gospel. And so we pray for them as they travel, as they preach, and as they continue to learn. And Holy Spirit, we all have people on our hearts, and we lift them to you now. And we pray for whatever situation that they're in, that you would be alive to them, that you would sustain them and carry them, and they would know your love and your peace and your hope. We bring you our prayers together in the name of Jesus. Amen. May our homes be filled with dancing and our streets with joy.
Justice bow to Jesus as the people turn and pray from the mountains.
We hope this service has brought you hope today, and what a joy it has been to be able to share communion together. If you would like prayer, either press the prayer button if you're watching live or send us an email. We love to pray with you and for you. And with our offerings, we continue to respond to God with our offerings, both financial and practical, and we dedicate them. We pray that they would be a witness to the abundant love of God. This week, hunger deeply for God. Come and believe, and as you come to Jesus, may you never go hungry. As you believe in Jesus, may you never be thirsty. May you know God as the God who provides for our deep, deep hunger. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship, and unity of the Holy Spirit enfold you and carry you today and in the week ahead. Blessings on your week.
I will sing praise. No weapon formed against me shall remain. I will rejoice. I will declare God is my victory and He is here. This is my prayer in the harvest when favor and providence flow. I know I'm filled to be emptied again. The seed I've received I will sow.